Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We are blessed with a new day, a dawning of a new day, a new season, a new time of refreshing of life, and that life more abundantly. We want to remember our counterparts on the East Coast because God is speaking through his rain and through his wind and through the snow and through the weather. He is causing man to look up and to recognize who he is and the power that belongs to him. We pray for those that are inundated with the weather that's coming all along the East Coast. But you know, he said there was going to be a wave that would come in. It would start on the East Coast and it would sweep through the land, a wave of holiness. And I think of the snow, the whiteness, the purity that it reflects when it first falls from heaven. And we just want to thank God for his sovereignty and his power, acknowledging him, praising him, and worshiping him, for holy and righteous, almighty, and worthy is our Lord. And we do thank you for coming together and joining with me in worship and a time of reflection. You are listening to Words from the Word, and I am Overseer Paulette Thornton. I am here with you today to share from a AEN prayer room that the Ministry of the Seven Wonders prepared, the river that every leader must cross. Let's start our time with a time of worship in our music, and has become the theme for me and prayerfully for you as well in this new season and for this new year. Hallelujah. Ashikab, run after you. Yes, Lord, thank you. We pray that the volume has been adjusted and that it will come through. Hallelujah. My soul pants for God and God alone. What a prize of my life is to see the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, you're sharing in words from the Word. I am your overseer, Paulette Thornton. We're coming to you from a prayer room ministry of Seven Wonders in the Word for the AEN Leadership Conference. And this conference focused on the river that every leader must cross. And in sharing this, we want to look first at the scripture, and it comes out of Joshua 3. It starts in the first verse, and it's giving a outline and a description of the children of Israel as they came out of the wilderness. At this point, Moses had been taken on by God, and he had given the charge to leading the people over into the hands of Joshua. Now, Joshua was one of the spies that went out 40 years earlier and viewed the promised land and told them, yes, we can conquer it. And yet he was a faithful spy, but the others discouraged the children of Israel. They murmured, and then they walked through the desert for 40 years. Just a little background on that and on the wilderness itself. What the wilderness experience for this group of a million wanderers as they are coming and nearing the end of their wandering, and they can see the prize, they can see the promise, they can see the ministry that's before them, and they're looking around and their precious leader is gone. They had followed Moses, they had obeyed him, and he had brought them through so much. This is a generation who had not been murmuring in the wilderness. They were the offsprings. They were the generation that ended the wandering because the other generation was gone. They had died in the wilderness, so they had seen a lot of death. They had seen a lot of sadness. They'd seen a lot of murmuring and complaining from the old ways and the older ones, and they had also received some insight from the Holy One, because every day he provided for them their manna. Every way he provided for them where their feet did not swell and their shoes did not wear out. So they were familiar with God on a very, very human level. They knew that they were there because their parents had told them of the promise, and they were being prepared by going through this wilderness. And the wilderness can be a place of hardship, a place of testing. It's also a place that's unfamiliar. It's hard. It's unyielding. It's not a fruitful place. For nothing and nowhere they went that they belong. It didn't belong to them. They were just wandering. The desert is a place of death unless God intervenes, where only God's provision and a heavenly presence will sustain you. So they saw the fire by night and the cloud by day. You know, we have to remember that even in the hard places, God shows up. And if he doesn't, we would not be able to go through, to make it through. The desert is a place where God sends the righteous, a testing place, a place where this generation was tested and found to be true and found to be worthy to go forth into the promised land. And so this is where they are. They're at a place where they see the River Jordan, and they see the land flowing with milk and honey. And so Joshua 1:3 starts with this. I can find my glasses. Praise the Lord. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levi bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Now, they rose early. They rose early in the morning. The river is used here as a reference of the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. Here we see that they came through the Arcadia Grove. As they got up early, they rose up early, they found themselves at a place, it's here, it's happening. There was a level of excitement that they were experiencing. After 40 years, they're here, standing before. The season of their approach to the River Jordan was at the harvest time. It's when the river would be at its highest. Springtime was when flood waters from the mountains would flow, filling the channel that had been depleted by winter's drought, causing the river to rise from bank to bank. Revival waters, refreshing. The river bank were filled from one side to the other, and you would think, well, is this a good point to cross that? But God has a wisdom, and God knew that he was about to show himself and prove himself true to them. The River Jordan is the longest waterway in Palestine. It is located in a valley that is at the lowest depression point on earth. It symbolizes the transition from death of one thing or time or season, death to pride and self and natural strength, to new life unfolding, the unfolding of a new purpose, surrendering to divine authority and renewed hope as a result. It viewed symbolically the river as a river of life or death and life. And the journey to the river started by way of the Arcadia Grove. The Arcadia tree is known for its durability. In the word, it stood for non-decaying and translated incorruptible wood. The Arcadia Grove is a fresh, life-changing encounter with holiness. The Arcadia Grove represented the place where the children of Israel would meet the standards of God in all areas of their life. They had grown up strong as trees. They had marched and they had made it to this point. And at this point, they needed to put upon them to see the holiness of God and to embrace the truths that will cause them to be able to go forth in power in this new ministry, in this new season that was about they were about to encounter. It was an encounter with holiness, the incorruptibility nature of the Arcadia tree represents that experience, that Arcadia experience. Praise the Lord. We cannot take a shortcut to the river by avoiding the Arcadia Grove experience, or our time at the river will be a mixture of flesh and spirit, and it will be destined to be shallow and short-lived. The very core of our Christian living must be examined, cleansed, and changed if we are to cross the river of God and receive the life-changing power of the anointing. Uncompromising truth must be embraced and holiness established as the standard. We have to align ourselves with holiness, incorruptible, standing unmovable always abiding in the word of God. In Joshua 3 and 5, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You know, we have to be in a place that we can even receive the miracles and the wonders of God. He said, sanctify, the Lord said, sanctify yourself. Before crossing, the leaders must stop to lodge at the river's edge. They're through the Arcadia Grove. They receive the truth and the uncompromising knowledge of the holiness of God. So now he says, now stop and lodge here at the river, for tomorrow God will do wonders among you. Before crossing, the leader must stop to lodge at the river's edge to prepare his mind, his heart, and his spirit with expectation and faith to receive the biblical truths they will uncover and refine as they go across the river. They must dig out a place in their heart for the Holy Spirit to fill, emptying themselves out to become one and in unity, a heart that's unified in Christ, not filled with some of the residue of the walk through the wilderness, of the voices and of the opinions and of all of the negative things that happened and that they saw through the other generations. They had to clear that out of their minds, their hearts, and they had to prepare a place for the Holy Spirit to fill up. They had to open their hands and spirit and be ready to absorb and to drink. They could not rush into the river, but they had to lodge by the river's edge, lodging there and surrendering their flesh and allowing the breath of God's Spirit to breathe new life into them and summons the strength for crossing. For as they lodged there overnight, they say a wind came up, and this wind came up to part the Jordan River, so that they would know that God was with Joshua just as he was with Moses. But as this fresh wind came, it was bringing new breath, new life into a whole generation, a whole nation, a whole people who were about to embark on a ministry in a season that they had never seen before. And they needed a God's eye view. They needed divine intervention. They needed God to continue to be that pillar of fire and that pillar of cloud to guide them. But he was going to do it in a new way. He was going to have them as they cross, and as we cross that river of anointing, we receive inside of our spirit, inside of our hearts, that presence and that power of the Holy Spirit to do those things and to walk in the places that God has prepared our feet to go. Part of the lodging by the river, and we have read scriptures that by the river, how things flourish and how strong the trees become that are by the river, because they're feeding on the fresh water from the river. And as hard, coming out of a desert, the ground is hard. And if you first wet it, the water stays to the top. It kind of just beads on top of very, very hard, dry ground, dry soil. And it takes a constant flow of water, a constant steady stream of water to soften and to moisturize the soil enough for it to become pliable and for it to become fruitful. And so as they lodged there, this by the river's edge, and he said, he'll make us lie down in green pastures beside still waters, as those waters refresh and cleanse and bring us to a season that we've never seen before. It prepares the ground for the seed that was planted in the Arcadia Grove of holiness and giving them the strength for the crossing. It was harvest time, and the harvest is great, and the leaders must bear the weight of the stones that they will carry out of the water. Because the children of Israel were told, as you go through from each tribe, there should be one to pick up a stone to bring out of the water, and then build an altar as a memorial, so that if your children ask you, you can give them the hope and the experience and the anointing and the power of that crossing, of that going through that river. And as leaders, we have to view this crossing, this submerging in the experience of revival waters that are refreshing us. And as we go through, the Lord is going to, and the Holy Spirit will lay on our hearts what our burden is for, what our passion is for. And that is that stone. So when you recognize, identify, and you view and you become aware of that passion, that's the stone that you are to pick up. That's the stone you are to bring out of the river. And that is the stone that should be cause you to remember and to be passionate when you share this with the generation to come, so that your impartation into the generation will not be one of grumbling and complaining and murmuring against God and wandering around aimlessly, but it be refined and defined, and it will be effective and powerful. It's a reminder that there are revival truths that flow from the anointing of power of God through the river of revival, of change, of a newness. These stones must be brought from the water and to build our altar. The stones will serve to form a memorial that will stand before the people, so they'll focus and they won't lose focus. And not just focus, but they will be passionate. For as you go through this river experience, there is a passion that is birthed, it comes forth, just like fire shut up in your bones, and you realize, you know, I believe this is something that God wants to revive in the people. These are things, the river, it symbolizes the salvation of God and the power of life and God. And also, it has a representation of the Holy Spirit's impartation and cleaning. We have to embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit. For so often we walk and we become so familiar with our walk, we kind of anticipate what we think it is going to be, or that it should be, or that it will be. And when we do that, we miss the new wine, the new season. We miss the new anointing and the new revelation that the Lord is giving us for the season that we're in. But not every season can use the anointing of a past season. It is the foundation to go from glory to glory to glory. In Revelation, the river is described in the new city of God as pure water coming from the throne of God for the healing of the nations. Many of the references in the word to the river of God represents a place of refreshing and relief. The river relief from the drought that the leaders experienced and the church has experienced as that continuous dry wind blows and challenges and struggles sap out all the zeal and exhausting the spirit as they came through the wilderness. And as we come through our wilderness experience, our wilderness and our wilderness seasons, the relentless heat of summer dries all the moisture out of the soil. And the heat of the summer, the heat of the height of ministry, as we are laboring and going forth in a season to a new season, just as the journey leaves the soil dry, it also us dry, thirsty, and hardened are words that sometimes describe the soil and the soul of the leader and the spiritual state of the church as we journey to the promised land, to the promised calling, to the season that the Lord is leading us into. The river of God is a place of rest and impartation. And the children of God will receive a fresh flow of the anointing power from the Spirit, just as the disciples were told to go to wait, to rest, wait there for the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit before going into ministry. So one of the things that was brought out in the meeting of the apostle on the network for New Year's Eve, they asked what was the word for the Lord, for the church. And she said the only thing she knew was that God said, wait, wait. So as we wait on the power of the Holy Spirit, we are being refreshed, we're being revived. This flow will be reforming our thinking, recovering the passion and the fire that we had, and a renewed power in our soul and spirit, as we will need, as we bring to God's people's strength and enlightenment to overtake the enemy. Well, that's who Joshua and the children of Israel, though they were facing their promise, they were also facing the enemies with the strength of God and the preparation of the Arcadia Grove, lodging by the river and crossing the river. They will be able to overtake the enemies that they would encounter in the new place, in the new season, in the place where the enemy in the region of the world, they had formed fortresses against God's people. They were at the place where Jericho was, that had walls and walls of fortress against the children of Israel. They had shut and sealed their hearts by an evil influence against an invisible power. They were shut up to heaven, sealed, but the children of Israel would be able to overtake them because of the power that the Lord was giving to them in their preparation. The fortresses were in places to hinder the advancement of the kingdom to their destination. The stones gathered on the crossing by the leaders will be a reminder to bring new insight to the people, reassuring them of the presence of the anointing power to establish the biblical directives needed in the journey as the season changed to meet the challenges of the dawn of the new day. The collision of holiness and today's culture, that is what our leaders face today. The next step in our journey, we will conquer those mountains. We talked about the influence of the seven mountains of the world. And we need a passion, a passionate anointing to go forth to conquer those mountains that have been set for us. In Ezekiel 47:1, we read how this power is going to flow with us. It says, afterwards, he brought me again into the door of the house of the Lord. And behold, water issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the front of the house stood toward the east. And the water came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then he said to me, this river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The Jordan River runs to the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea pure and fresh. If that is not a description, a visual of what we do when we leave the house of the Lord, passionate and fueled by our directives, having picked up that stone that is precious to us, that will remind us of what it is we should do. And as we travel that water with the water of the word, the washing of the word, towards the harvest of lost souls. It will bring them life and purity. For he then says in Ezekiel, have you been watching, son of man, have you been watching, son of man? Then he led me back along the river bank. Then he said to me, this river flows east through the desert unto the Dead Sea, the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of the stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea pure and fresh. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea. Fish, just as Christ said, I will make you fishermen of men. For its waters will be fresh. Life will flourish wherever these waters flow. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea all the way from Engedi to Engalami. The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea just as they fill the Mediterranean. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food, and the leaves will be for the healing. I want to share with you some of the stones. The stones that God is reviving within the body of Christ. Some things that just need to be stirred up and fired up and shared and brought to light for the new generation. The stone of humility and simplicity. We have the stone of impartation, getting back to laying on of hands, getting back to the discipling of one another, just as Paul did for Timothy, taking the time with the new generation, with this generation, the revival waters, rivers flowing today, have used this truth to minister and multiply thousands of people. As the revival stone, we should pick up, put on our shoulder, and carry out of the water. There seems to be a new level of faith in people to receive from each other because of a new expectation and an excitement that we should have. Then there's the stone of intercessory prayer. It is time. It is time for change, and change will come as we revive the stone of intercessory prayer, that our prayer meetings are not mundane and just repeating prayers over and over, but the prayers that are focused, that are fervent, and that are powerful because they use the word of God, and they're done effectual because they're done faithfully without ceasing, that everything we do is bringing the power of heaven on earth as we communicate with heaven and heaven communicates with us, influencing believers by when we pray and then seeing the result and testifying to it, that passion we should have for the privilege of prayer. Then the stone of reconciling the generations, not condemning them or condemning what they wear, what they do, how they look, and what they listen to, but reconciling them to the holiness of God. Then the stones of restoring men to take responsibility, no longer tearing them down and pulling out their faults, but rather sharing with them who God has said that they are. The stone of miracles and healing. Is that the anointing that is on your life? Miracles and healing. Is that your anointing? And we so often feel in today's society in America, In other countries, that is something that is expected and it's done, it's seen. But we tend to wait like for miracles of the magnitude of the opening of the Red Sea. And yet he says miracles and wonders, they should follow us everywhere, just like that river, the side of the river is blooming and blossoming. The miracle is fish in a dead sea, living souls being brought back, dead bones being revived, being brought back. And then the stone of holiness. We're not taught the grace that fills a holy soul, a human soul. That's where holiness comes, a vision. It is automatic, and it becomes a new drive and a desire to be free from anything that would hinder a first love relationship with Christ. Grace, that stone of grace, that stone that produces holiness for God, is a holy God. And we look at holiness as a work, and it is not our work. It is grace. It is a gift. And because of that gift of grace, holiness is the fruit that comes out of it because of our love relationship with God. It's not religion. It's not a do and a don't. It's a be and a him and a because. The stone of racial reconciliation. All men are equal. All men in God's sight. And we have to embrace differences of race, of ethnicity, of customs. And we need to get to see that those that we are not familiar with have a passionate love for God just as we do. And though their music may sound different and their language different, it is all in Christ. And it is a binding grace that we will all have when we get to heaven. The stone of strategic spiritual warfare, knowing the enemy's strategy and how to overcome it. There are many stones that we have to, that the Lord is showing us to bring out of this revival of his holiness, of him, of his person, of freedom for unbelievers. As believers, we're not free to do a lot of things because we don't understand that it's our freedom is in grace. It's in the grace of God and the truth that God has given us. The stone of reaping a ripe harvest, both locally and globally, not being within four walls, but leaving the four walls and reaching the world. We have the lines open to those that would like to share. I know we have some that were at the conference and actually went through the river and actually got a stone. We would love to hear from them if they would want to share today. So the lines are open. Feel free to share. Amen. Amen. Hello, caller.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you? I'm wonderful. How are you today?
I'm well. This is Elder Deborah. Just calling to encourage you and to thank you for another informative presentation. The symbolism has really been, it has been eye-opening for me for some of the symbolism, some of the things that I wasn't aware of. That's one of the things that I truly enjoy. It's like I learn something every time I hear a broadcast. I do remember this presentation with the AEN, and one of the things when you were talking about Joshua 3 and 5, where we have to sanctify ourselves. I know I'm guilty, and I think a lot of times that when the Lord shows us something, we kind of lay back and expect Him to do all of the work. But for us to, the whole idea of us sanctifying ourselves and also being proactive in what it is that God has given us to do, when you started to mention some of the specifics about the stones, the various stones, you know, there would be a memorial. There would be something that we would hold in our hearts, our passions, to be able to take, you know, out to the world as we work out our ministry, the ministry work that God has assigned to our hand. So just wanted to just call and encourage you and let you know that I'm out here listening to you. And thank you much, and be blessed.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Elder. Thank you so much. We appreciate the sharing, because these are all members of the Ministry of Seven Wonders. And so there is a lot that insight that they can also bring, and bring enlightenment to others that may not be as familiar with the Ministry of the Seven Wonders. So we do appreciate that. We thank you for your encouragement. We need your encouragement and your prayers. And we thank God for just even the opportunity to be a part of the Blog Talk family. It is a wonderful vehicle that the Apostle Dr. Shawnette Houghton has made available to the body of Christ in so many ways, that it actually presents the sexual and relational healing retreat online on the airwaves, because of the variety of individuals that are a part of this. I wanted to share with, probably focus on maybe one a week, but just to give you some insight into the different ones that you can listen to through the week. And we had one of What's in It for Me, which I enjoyed this week. It's on Mondays, 6:30 to 7. And remember, you can always go online and get the archived sessions from any and all of the Blog Talk Radio. But What's in It for Me is a Real Talk Christian Walk Radio. Your hosts will engage you in a conversation that focuses on faith, the growth of the believer, renewing the Christian mindset, and leaning on the power of God. And this week, their question, she throws out a question, her, is Me and My Three Sisters. It's kind of the subtitle of it. And she throws out the question, what should you wear to church? So it was a lively discussion. It's an empowerment zone. It's the kind of thing that at the retreat, a group gets around and they share scripturally based information, and they compare it to the traditionally presented information. So it was very enlightening, very lively. And so there are so many of these wonderful blog talk radio sessions. To Heal and Worship Again, that's ministry of the pastor out in Seattle, and it's Sunday evening music and meditation. He gives words of encouragement. There's an intimate reflective time, the use of instrumental, wonderful worship music, praise music, and scriptures. And it's wonderful to listen to anytime, not just on Sunday, but I encourage you to listen to it. And again, we have CCTI. It meets on Monday on Blog Talk Radio. And you have the total teaching of our Dr. Bishop. And on we're focusing on unforgiveness and rejection. And so, again, I encourage you to listen to Blog Talk Radio family at any time You can just pull it up on www.blogtalkradio.com/LFC, and then you will get the whole host of the family. LFC, Neighbors for Christ Ministry, LFCMAEN, there are three radio stations, and Grace. Grace is our Seattle worship center. So I encourage you to share the Blog Talk experience. It is wonderful. We have callers on the line. Feel free to share today. We have ended our 21-day consecration that we started for the first part of the year, and we are entering into a time of prayer. There's going to be a prayer summit next week. Caller, did you want to share?
I like the part, this is Minister Pat. I like Overseer. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank
yes.
you. Awesome message. I like what you said, the part where you were talking about the river when it said stop, lodge here and tomorrow. And that was in the preparation to get ready for the next day. And you also were saying this is a time of miracle signs and wonders, and time for us to, as I see, launch into the deep, to go where we haven't gone before, to do what we know we should be doing, and to be obedient in this season. So that's all I wanted to say. I think it was an awesome and powerful message. And every time you hear, whether it be Joshua 3 or 5, or hear the word of God, you get something even new, a newer message from it. So thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Minister. We do appreciate your presence and your input. It is encouraging. It really is. I want to share with the people that next week we are focusing on prayer, because next week is a prayer summit that the not just Labors for Christ, but it is a nationwide event, and Labors for Christ definitely is going to take part in it. And part of what we're going to do is provide a prayer center at Labors, physical prayer center at Labors, that you can come at any time and pray. And the Ministry of the Seven Wonders is going to prepare the room for prayer and worship. And I'm really excited about having a 24-hour place of prayer. If you want to come in the hours after 9, you just need to contact the ministry, and it can be available to you. And again, as I said, it's a nationwide event, because that prayer stone has to be revived in the passion of people. Often if you say prayer is from 6:30 to 7, no one comes till 7. But prayer is a very valuable, intimate part of worship. It was in the holy place, that the altar of incense. That was where the prayers went up to heaven for God to incline his ear into the needs of the people. And so we want to make sure we are listening to him in our prayer time, and receiving the download from here, him in our prayer time. And as we have gone through the first consecration of the year for the first fruit, and we focused on the first prayer watch, I'll just read to you the purpose of the first prayer watch, or the focus of the first prayer watch, which is where we're going to have our main services at the church. But the first prayer watch is from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. It is the early watch, and it's called the first watch because the day started. First, it was the night, and the day was the first day. This is based on the Word of God. The first prayer watch is silence the enemy. Wonderful. A time to pray and silence all the voices, curses of the enemy in our life, on our church, and on our people, on our family, on our city, and on our nation. Witches start flying during this watch, going around the city. You'll find that in Psalms 59, because they intend to take hold of the gates of the day. We must possess the gates of our new day. Otherwise, it will be the enemies possessing them, releasing curses on us and on our day. It is the time to release judgment on the wicked, because this is the time we have the evening tide in line with Isaiah 17, 12 through 14, and Psalms 59. We need to release and proclaim into the new day God's blessing, changing the environment or spiritual equation of our life, of our church, of our family, of our city, and of our nation. And I just want to share a thought that I had. This first prayer watch takes place when, and because we've changed, society has changed, and our culture has changed, the 6 o'clock, 6 to 9, is probably our most exhausting time of the day. And so it is not a time that we're thinking about the next day. It's the time we're trying to get over the day we've had. So we're kind of living backwards. Where is this, the power in our tongues need to go forth before we go to bed to prepare, as it says here, the gates of the city, because that's what will stop the mouth of the enemy. And that's the kind of strategies that need to be exciting and birthed and passed on to the next generation, to this generation. Periods for covenant revival with God. It was the watch during which Jesus broke bread with his covenant between God and Israel. It is a time to appreciate the provision of the blood covenant. Every covenant you have with God can be renewed at this time. And if we spend this time as a renewal covenant of taking communion to remember what Christ has done, how even the more victorious to start that first watch with the covenant. A time for the nature of the Lamb of God as spoken of in Revelation 5. This talks of ability to do what others can't. It says, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who is able to break every yoke and seals and open the title deed of the universe, power, wealth, strength, wisdom, honor, glory, and blessing. Humility is the greatest secret of his strength. This is the reason why, during this watch, he tied the towel around his waist and washed his disciples' feet. Leadership is service. Y'all talking about the first prayer watch from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Time for preservation of the fruit of your life, especially the fruits of the body. Every leader can begin to pray for every project he starts to live out in divinely ordained life space. So this is the time, the strategies and the agenda of your family, of your church, of your city, and of your nation. That is the first prayer watch. And next week we'll go through some of the other prayer watches, bringing out scripture as relates to it, the different prayer postures, the different prayer focuses that are going forth. And so I do encourage you to be a part of the prayer summit. And can you imagine inundating heaven all over this country with saints calling upon the living God. We want to be a part of this wave, just as this snow is coming in that East Coast, and we're praying for those that are there, but let it remind us of a holiness that has to sweep over this country that will bring us back to truth and the Word and the Bible, and not man's way and that which seems right in man's eye, but that is righteous in the body of Christ. And so as this snow comes and brings down the will of God over the lives of the people, because he says whatever he sends, his word, it will accomplish that which he had sent it to do. And he is a purposeful God, and he'll make all things work to the good for those that love him. And he will make his power known to man. They will acknowledge him. And this is the kind of a weather event that causes man to stop and realize their true frailty. They can't do anything. When God speaks, man will have to be silent. The enemy will have to be silent. And so we just thank God that we serve this holy God, and that this holy God loves us and has adopted us into his family, and we are his children, and he has promised to care for us in all that we have need of. So again, I thank you for joining me on Blog Talk Radio. I ask that you keep the ministry in prayer, keep our leader and our founder, Dr. Apostle Shawnette Houghton, in your prayers, and let's pray for God's people to be revived as we cross the river and get the stone with a passion to place them before us, so that we will run this race. We will pursue him. And so at that, I thank you for joining Blog Talk Radio. This is Overseer Paulette Thornton, and this is our song as we go to greet this holy day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. Let us remember to run after him. Thank you, Lord.